You're listening to the Topco Business Unusual Podcast. Now, the Business Unusual Podcast. Learn from the greatest minds in business today. Interviews hosted by Ralph Fletcher. Learn how to improve business, get tips from industry leaders, and be motivated by real life experience. Topco, Business Unusual.
So I never thought I'd actually get the chance to speak to you face to face. So this is a real honor for me. So thank you for making the time.
Well, good to meet you, Fiona. And thanks for the kind words. You know, the trouble with being on air, you never know who listens to you, and that's the reality.
Or
strange world. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, at least you know I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
All right. So can we just frame the conversation? If you can give us and our audience a bit of a background of how you got to where you are and how you ended up in media, because often our life's journeys are not linear A to B. They can take a few turns. So it'd be lovely to hear your story, your background story.
So in terms of, and I mean, maybe you guys will work these titles later on. So currently the main purpose that I'm involved in now is a project called Champion South Africa.
Yes.
And I'm the let's call it the founding champion of Champion South Africa. That's a word given to me by somebody else. I said founding founder, and someone said no, founding champion.
That's a nice word.
No, it's quite a nice play. I like it. So that's the main purpose, but it has to grow, and I'll tell you more about it when we talk just now. Mm-hmm. Then I also created some podcasts towards the latter part of last year, and then stopped when I had COVID positive or 19 myself. And we'll rebrand some of the things later on. So currently, I mean, there's a podcast available called the Champion South Africa Podcast. And there's the Ashraf Garda podcast, but I haven't loaded anything for the last 4 months because we just stopped it. I've got about 15 things there. But, I mean, that's what it is. And there could be some rebranding that takes place there. Beyond that, so, I mean, I'm involved in, you know, program directing. I do lots of moderating, plenty of, and media training and some talks that I give under the Champion South Africa banner, which is, you know, champion people, world champion nation. So, I mean, that's where I am. Okay, to go to the how did it all start? Yeah, it's an interesting thing, and you're right. I don't know why we often teach, we tell people that this is the channel you need to follow if you want to get from A to Z. Because so many people I know actually do not get the linear way, right? And for me, it was the same. I used to be in the fashion fabric industry, so I can talk to you
I can talk to
you about fashion. But that's a long time ago. But specifically, I was the chairperson of a junior football club. So, you know, four kids in the 90s or just into democracy. And that's when community radio, you know, started opening up, right? And I contacted a community radio station called Radio Azahir, I'll give you the proper names later on, spelling that is. But then it became The Voice, so the same one. And the reason I contacted them was to suggest that they need to cover the Junior Cup final that's coming Sunday. And I said, if you cover the cup final, those kids' names are going to get mentioned on air, and the parents will be thrilled. And kids never get mentioned on air, you know, in mainstream media. So 6 and 10-year-old kids will get mentioned. Then you guys as a radio station will get this new audience because you've only started. And then all the parents will be listening. And then what you do the week later is your problem, meaning this will bring you an audience you don't have, right? So that was the plan. That was what I was doing. And they said, okay, great. Can you set up the guest? Because we don't know anybody in your sport and your field. And I said, fine. And I got a whole lot of different people. And unknown to me, I was producing a show. I didn't even realize I was doing that. Okay. Because I looked at the dynamics of what works and what doesn't work. Okay. So I did just that. Yeah. And the day before the interviews, which were going to be on a Saturday, and the cup finals were on Sunday. There was a whole lot of cup finals. The day before, they contacted me to say, we have a problem. It's like, what's the problem? It's like, you know, we just worked it out. Not one of the guys in our community radio station can talk sport. Not one can talk soccer or football. Can you do the interviews? Anyway, now that was never the plan. I mean, I was just doing my job as this producer, right? And I said, fine. So the very first time I went on air, I interviewed a whole lot of junior kids and coaches about the cup final coming up. And I probably interviewed about 8 of them in one studio, which, as you know, is a nightmare to do, but I did that. But more importantly, I think within 5 minutes of opening my mouth, the station manager had this big sign, you know, and as you know, many studios have glass between producer and the guest. He had this big sign, and it just said something like, "Your enthusiasm is infectious. Welcome aboard."
Lovely.
And I've been talking ever since. That's the story. Yeah.
That's wonderful. What a lovely story. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
But Asha, in your lead up to that, you spoke about Champion SA, and I actually wanted to focus in a bit more on that because I went onto your website and I saw that you've got there, "My commitment is to champion South Africa." And it really resonated with me because that's very much in line with the purpose of Topco Media, which has been doing that for 25 years, celebrating success stories. You know, where other people focus on the doom and gloom, we really mine the successes of businesses and individuals in South Africa, you know, just building the optimism. So can you just tell us a bit more about Champion SA and about the kind of a bit more detail about it?
Okay, so in fact, we always call it Champion South Africa as opposed to Champion SA, right? Just so that you know, right? It came through from an idea that, in fact, myself and my son Zayed, who was at that stage just coming out of varsity, discussed a few years ago. And our plan was, you know, yes, that we needed to celebrate champions, but call them champions. You know, you can celebrate in many ways. I'm very aware of what Topco does, but call them that, okay? So we started doing some testing a few years ago, but with any idea, as you know, you amend, you pivot, you chop and change where you want to go, right? So where we are now is this. We still want to celebrate champions. We want to identify champions. We want to hope that by identifying champions, we inspire other people to become champion-like as well. We want to do all of those things, and we do all of those things, right? But more importantly, the end goal is critical. Our role as Champion South Africa is to build South Africa into a champion nation. So the end goal is that the entire country must shift from where we are as a mid-table nation to becoming a champion nation, right? So that's critical. Now, it's not for us to be doing it ourselves. We're not government. We're not a political party. We don't have billions of dollars to do all of that. But what we want to do is to shape the consciousness of people. So I mean, like, I want you to go home and remember the statement that I'm going to tell you, which is, you know, Fiona, champion people build champion people, and champion people build champion nations. And the challenge, therefore, is champion South Africans must build champion South Africa. So if you get the sense of what I'm saying, our primary role for now is to prick on the consciousness of people to develop this sense of champion thinking so that we can link personal success to country success. So, for example, many of the people that Topco celebrates, to what level do we link that level of celebration to say, but you know, you're doing it for yourself, but does that link to your country success as well? So our goal one day, 20 years time, somewhere down the line, is to turn South Africa into a champion nation. And we do that from a starting point by creating this sense of champion thinking. and then celebrating champions. But also very importantly, and we're doing this now because we're changing some of our own plans and strategy, is to partner with strategic partners in identifying some of the issues that are needed to become a champion nation. And once we identify that, to partner, to collaborate, and to co-create at a certain level, so that we will, even if we don't do it ourselves, we start instigating others to start creating the environment that will build South Africa into a champion nation.
That's wonderful. Thank you very much. That's very inspiring. Just on another note, Ashraf, can you just, we're talking about nation building, championing. Can you tell me what, in your opinion, are the possible growth sectors in the economy? I mean, we've had a complete complete turnaround with COVID. In your opinion, going forward, what do you see as the growth sectors for the country?
I think not so much what I see. I mean, I'm not an economist, but what absolutely has to happen, right? I think entrepreneurship has to be given the front seat. It's still not the front seat. We celebrate, you know, we celebrate the discoveries of the world, and that's an entrepreneurial venture, and Pick and Pay of the world, and that's entrepreneurial. And we look at the Maponyas and Maponya Mall, and we say that's entrepreneurial. Mm. But to what degree? Well, here's the question: to what degree is entrepreneurship part of our DNA as a country, as a culture? Mm. It has become part of a culture. Now, many people talk about it. What I'm saying is not new, okay? Accepting. Mm. I think what COVID has taught us is that government can only do so much. If the president has said, you know, it's in our hands, and often when they talk about social distancing, they talk about it's in your hands to stay apart. And in fact, they're giving us the responsibility. Now, the reality is government can't do it all. And same with growing the economy. There has to be a greater urgency. And if it wasn't so before, a resurgent in terms of emphasizing the importance of entrepreneurship. But here's the bigger issue then. Government can't just talk about it. Between government and big business, they have to become the enablers. Now, I know I've chatted to other people. Matsi Modise comes to mind. They're lobbying government for a whole new look at the entrepreneurial space, right? And I think when I say enabling, it has to become easy to get into entrepreneurship. At the moment, it's a pain in the backside. It's like trying to get a first-class ticket on a flight at an economy class. So the barriers to entry are very, very difficult.
Huge, including finance.
Yeah, absolutely, including finance. And the problem is this: we can't compare ourselves to first-world countries. South Africa is a developing country, a developing nation. So we have unique circumstances, right? And therefore, we have to apply unique principles, which we're not quite doing at this point in time.
Yeah, 100%. Thank you for that. I wanted to ask you, how did you survive 2020?
Well, literally, from a COVID point of view, July the 1st, which was the beginning of the first peak, is the day I was COVID positive, and my wife a day later, and I'm asthmatic. So it was a huge concern as to what may happen to me, particularly around breathing, right? Because, I mean, that's the most vulnerable part of all the things that affect you. But, you know, thank God. Yeah, thank God. Thank Allah. It was absolutely fine. And we survived it. But, I mean, I can tell you of about, I'm trying to do a count at the moment, but at least there's about 50 people who I've met at least once in my life who has died from COVID. So when I see people still making a mock of it, they have no idea. These are people that at least I've met once in my life. Okay. That's on the health side of it. On the economic side, I think it's been difficult. You know, the story about COVID, it affects lives and it affects livelihood, right? And of course it's affected my livelihood. I think as a person who does lots of public speaking, from program directing, emceeing, moderating, you would know, I mean, last year that took an absolute nosedive. Yes, yeah, we had to pivot to agree with webinars, but it's not quite the same thing because the spend is not there, right?
No.
It's been incredibly difficult. I'm now doing a lot of media training in the short term and trying to pivot that to online because I need to do that. And it also has meant that me trying to do some short-term media work on an ad hoc basis with other people as we do that in the hope that the Greater Champion South Africa project can start paying for itself. Because, I mean, that's the plan to set up Champion South Africa as a social enterprise, but also having its own foundation. But here's the thing I want to give to you, because I've given talks on this, right? I'm saying all of us are in a boat, and this is COVID for me. All of us are in a boat. We're in a boat navigating treacherous waters, and we all have to row in. We have to synchronize. We have to row in the same direction with synchronicity to get to the shore. It doesn't matter whether we like each other or we don't like each other or we trust each other or we don't. If we don't commit to doing just that, every one of us, we will never get to the shore safely, right?
Yeah.
The bottom line to that is the statement that I've made, and I want you to reflect on it. Not all of us are COVID infected, but all of us are COVID affected. It's something to think about. Not all of us are COVID infected, but every one of the 60 million South Africans are COVID affected.
That is so true. So true. That's very powerful. Thank you for that. So on a bit of a lighter note, do you have any amusing or memorable stories as a media host or a motivational speaker? Anything that kind of sticks in your mind as something that you would like to share as a story?
Well, you know, the trouble with asking media people that they have to choose some like 500, okay? And that's incredibly difficult. But, I mean, I'll say a few things that they may not necessarily be stories. I'll say a few things. One is I've been very privileged to meet, and certainly from my time at SAFM, even now post SAFM with my podcast, I've been privileged to meet and speak to some of the most significant people in the country. And I think it is a massive privilege, okay? When it's gone, it's not there. So it's a massive front seat at some of the most significant players in the country. That's politics, business, people in the medical fraternity, sport, basically people very much at the forefront of leadership in our country. Now, having said that, if you ask me, like, and don't ask me this, like, what's your favorite interview because that you've done? Because, you know, it's asking me to choose between a Richard Branson or a Herman Mashaba or a Thuli Madonsela or a Julius Malema or some of the other, high-ranking cabinet ministers and other business people. And that's a no-brainer in terms of how do you choose that, right? It's actually a problem. But this is what I want to tell you. When I think back to my time on air and why is it important, then I look back at impact as opposed to speaking to one important person. And really, I've been privileged to speak to many. And the impact is this. I once did an outside broadcast in Langa Township in the Cape, right? Cape Town. And often when I go, I'll sort of tell people the day before, like, hey, I'm going to be in Langa, come and say hi. And so we were broadcasting from the Langa Town Hall. And there was a guy who, of course, didn't have my number. And whether he dropped me an email or he sort of DM'd me on Twitter and saying, you said you're going to be here. I'm outside and I demand to see you. Now, the demand for me was not a threat because I just picked up the tone, okay? It was a demand of desperation. And I said, don't worry, I will come outside. And he spoke to me and he met with me and he said, you know what? I'm on some housing list here and I'm waiting for like 20 years. And believe me, I cannot speak to one person. It's like a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And just then, the minister with relevance to housing came by and I was able to speak to them. Now, I'm not suggesting anything happened out of it. I don't even know. But here's the important point. Yeah. There and then, in that one moment, I understood my role. So my role is not to make the minister happy. My role is not to make the different political parties happy and to be nice with them and to please them. It doesn't mean I can't be nice with them. But my primary role as a talk show host is to create the impact that will change the lives of people who watch us on television or who listen on radio. And in that one moment, that gentleman from Langa reminded me that I needed to make an impact in his life. That's when I'm delivering on my role as a talk show host.
That's wonderful, Ashraf. That really is. Yeah, no, it's a very, very powerful thing.
Yeah. The other, which I mean, I did say I'm not tempted to run down like favorites because there's no favorite, but the one thing that I want to say, I once interviewed Richard Branson. Well, a few years ago, and it was interesting because, you know, he wrote a book and we spoke about that. And the brief from the publicist was, you can only speak about what's in the book. And you can only speak for 15 minutes. That's it. 15 minutes and only what's in the book. And as any talk shows, it wasn't live, it is recorded, but as any talk shows will tell you, your job is to push the envelope and see how far you can go.
Yeah.
So I had a sense very early on that we were communicating. Now, he wasn't with me. He was in London, okay?
Yes.
I had a sense that we were communicating. We were in sync.
In sync, yeah.
So the chat moved two levels. It moved well beyond 15 minutes. We spoke for 45 minutes. I can tell you that much.
Yeah.
And we spoke beyond the book. I understood that there were other things that I could talk to him about. And the one interesting that I asked him, because I think it's telling, was this, that I said, I asked people a question at the end of this, in the spotlight interview I used to have on SAFM, and I used to say, so who's the one person you'd like to take out to lunch? And I told him, I said, Richard, you will not believe how many people put you down as that number one person they'd like to take out for lunch. But let me ask you this, Richard Branson, who would you like to take out for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay. And he was quite clever, as I expect him to be. He said, you know, I haven't met him, but I'd like to meet him. And if I could, I'd like to take him out for lunch. And he is the person who's just been elected the president of the ANC, not the president of South Africa. I'm talking about Cyril Ramaphosa at that time, okay?
Yeah.
So he understood the political changes that were happening and understood the need to meet the man who would one day be the future president. So I thought that was interesting, yeah.
That's so funny that you say that, because my next question for you was going to be, if you could invite five people to dinner, past or present, who would they be?
I'll tell you what, two comes to mind, okay, past or present. One is living, and in many ways he reflects my other big passion in life, which is football or soccer, and that would be the coach of the former manager of Manchester United, Alex Ferguson. I'd love to get into his mind, okay? That's the one.
Yeah.
And the other from a past is the I follow the Islamic faith, so I have a synergy with this person, the Prophet Muhammad, who, according to Muslim belief, is the last of the great line of prophets. It started from Adam and Jacob and Jesus and Moses and Abraham, and he's the last of the line. And he, according to our scripture, the Quran, has been described, and the Arabic word is rahmatul lil alameen, a mercy unto the worlds. And the plural is worlds, okay? So, yeah, I'd like to spend time with the two of them, if I could. That would be
a fascinating dinner.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fascinating? What would you have for pudding?
I wouldn't. You know what? The pudding would, or the food would be would be a side issue. It would be, you know, what is your show called? It's called let me get it right. Brain food for business. So, in fact, it'd be brain food. It would be food for the mind.
Exactly. That's lovely, Ashraf. So my last thing that I'd like to ask you to do, would you like to give a message out to all the people out there still struggling to survive and get through this time?
Well, I mean, I think two things. some made the point, you know, we all are not COVID infected. We all are COVID affected. Please let us understand that. There are people whose lives have been decimated. They've lost people. They've been ill. We haven't lost them, but they've spent time in hospitals. But then there are the vast majority. And I take it, I don't know, it's a thumbsuck figure, but I don't think there are more than 5% of South Africans who've been untouched financially by the impact of COVID. So I tweeted this morning, I said, you know what, spend some time and maybe reach out to 3 people a day and just find out how they are, whoever they are. No reasons, nothing, just find out, because they have good days and they have bad days, and people are struggling. So my advice to people is to do just that. On a on a champion South Africa level, I mean, here's my thought. I desperately want South Africa to become a champion nation, desperately so. It pains me that we're a mid-table nation and that we have major deficiencies in the economy, in employment, in joblessness, in skills deficits, in crime, in just overall morale. But, you know, in sport, and I love using sporting analogies, in sport, when you're playing poorly, you can be subbed, right? So people in South Africa, they sort of turn their hands in that circular motion and like get off the pitch and get somebody else on, right? Yeah. But that's in sport. In a country, when you're born in South Africa, you don't get picked to represent your country. You represent your country already. The moment you're born, you're in the team. So we have like 60 million people who are in this team or Team Inc. that represents South Africa, and you can't be subbed, okay? So when you can't be subbed, understand your position. It's one thing complaining, as you should, about the poor leadership in many parts of our country, but it's another thing saying, it's not my problem. It is your problem, and here's the thing. To all the people who are super successful and the people who are trying to become successful, understand this point. When you win, South Africa wins. And when South Africa wins, you win. You must be able to make that link between your success and our country's success, and our country's success and your success. When more and more people do that and make that link, right, the country will take a gigantic first step towards becoming a champion nation.
Wonderful. What a wonderful way to end. Thank you, Ashraf. It's been such a pleasure, and I've really enjoyed our conversation. I hope you have too.
Thank you. Yes, I have. Yeah.